I'm going to sort of depart from what I normally do on a Wednesday night. As I was thinking about this and meditating about this, I felt like the Lord would have me to do a healing service. I don't know that I've done a healing service on Wednesday night. If I have, it's been a long time. How many of you here tonight, you need a healing touch in your body? Let me see your hand right now. If you're watching online, you need a healing touch. Listen to what we have to say. I want to talk about blind Bartimaeus from Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It starts. I'm going to read from the NIV tonight. You know, as we look at this story many times, we zero in on his healing. But I want to talk, first of all, before Jesus came by. It says, then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that's the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Blind Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was an outcast to society. In that day and age, anybody that had any kind of afflictions like that was considered an outcast. Every day, think about it, every day he sat beside the road. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Sat in the dirt. Think about it. Outside of the city, because that's where unclean people had to live and had to stay. Think about it for a minute. He sat there day after day, week after week, begging for money so he could eat. You know, he sat there in the dirt with no hope of ever having a better life. In your mind's eye, can you imagine this poor man sitting there? Wonder how many days went by that he didn't get anything. He sat there being ridiculed, rejected by people. Just hoping that somebody would have mercy on him and show him a little kindness. We never think about, when we talk about him, we think about the healing, but we never think about his life before Jesus. You know, many of you can think about your life before Jesus. He had no hope. No hope. This was his lot in life. In fact, he wore an outer coat that depicted who he was. This coat that he wore, or cloak, said, I am a blind beggar. I'm a worthless piece of humanity. I am an outcast in society. And there he was. Locked, seemingly, in a lifestyle that would never change. But let's read the rest of the story. Let's talk about after Jesus came by. And listen at this. When he heard it was Jesus, heard. It was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him, be quiet. But he shouted all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and called him. So they said to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. I want you to notice verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak. Throwing his cloak aside. He jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now that is significant there. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, I want to see. Go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight, followed Jesus on the road. When he heard of Jesus, you can go to Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus. You can go to Acts chapter 8, Paul preaching in Lystra, the man that was crippled for, when he heard Paul speak, heard. When he heard it was Jesus walking by, he evidently had heard that this Jesus was the healer of the sick, was the miracle worker from Nazareth. And he recognized his opportunity. And he decided to do something about it. First of all, he realized Jesus was coming by. The word was nigh him. Now was the time to receive healing. You see, there was a big crowd. The Bible indicates that. He could have been more focused on the crowd and what he could receive from the crowd than he was on Jesus. But he focused on the healer. The healer's in the house tonight. He lifted his voice and began to call upon Jesus. The voice of faith. They told him to be quiet, but he didn't stop. Real faith goes after the answer, no matter what the circumstance. Despite the multitude making noise and telling him to shut up, he kept on shouting. Because of the opposition, many people would have been quiet. But he realized, this is my opportunity, and I am going to take advantage of it. He threw aside that garment. That garment that said, I am worthless. I am a blind beggar. That's very significant. Because from a course that I studied in Bible school called The Life and Times of Jesus, it was very significant that he threw aside that coat. He was not supposed to throw aside that coat. He was living under the Mosaic law. That woman with the issue of blood wasn't supposed to go into that crowd, but she did. He said, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. And he said, when I get to Jesus, I'm not going to need this thing no more. And he laid it on the ground and came to Jesus. I want you to notice that Jesus asked him a question. What do you want? I'm going to paraphrase it in our language. What do you want, man? Now, I want to say, you know, my imagination runs wild sometimes. I guess that's where Craig gets it. But, you know, think of all of the things he could have asked for. Somebody to build him a nice little shack that he could set in out of the sun. He could have asked for a benefactor to take care of him the rest of his life. Think about it. Jesus said, "What do you want?" And Bartimaeus was specific. He didn't hum-haw around. He didn't whisper. He said, "I want to see." Very emphatically. Over the years, I heard my dad talk about it. I saw some of it myself. I grew up with him all those years. People praying and asking God for something, and they just quiet. I remember one day dad told a person, "Won't you open your mouth and talk? What are you whispering for?" This person seemed to, they didn't exactly say it, but they seemed to indicate, "Well, I don't want to ruffle the devil's feathers." In fact, my dad, I think about 1957, he's out in California preaching out there. It'd be 55, because we went back out there in 57, so it'd been 55. And they had a flu epidemic. They shut the schools down. And they'd been having about 100 people in the morning time, maybe 125. It wasn't a real large church, but it was big for the day. And there'd been several preachers coming. That morning, there's only about 5 or 6 preachers there. And after the service that morning, they were all standing around on the platform. And one guy said, "Oh, I always get the flu. I'm going to go home and get ready to get it." And then he said, "Brother Hagin, aren't you afraid you're going to get the flu?" My dad said, "No, I'm not afraid I'm going to get the flu." And this one guy said, "Oh, I wouldn't be that loud. The devil will hear you." Dad said, "That's the very dude I want to hear me." Amen. You see, when we come praying, and I'm a little bit off subject here, but this is good. We need, when you go praying, don't generalize it. Be specific. Come on. And he said, "I want to see." Now look at this. He threw aside the garment, which signified who he was. And he said, he was said to himself when he threw that garment aside, that was the tantamount of saying, "I don't need this anymore because this is not me." That garment represented the hindrances to his life. I want you to notice he leaped and came to Jesus. He wasn't timid. The woman with the issue of blood, if you go find out, she came to Jesus. She found him and touched his clothes. He took advantage of the opportunity. He didn't allow anything to keep him from receiving what he wanted from Jesus. He wasn't going to allow the laws that man had put on him and said, determine who it should be. He paid no attention to the distractors, the people around him and their opinions. He immediately simply said, "I want to see, I'm tired of this lifestyle, and here's the man that can change it." Friend, I'm going to tell you what. I can't heal the sick. I can't open blinded eyes. But I know a man who can. And that man is here tonight in the presence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the healer. Some people sat around and said, well, God knows what I want and I need. If he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. No, he won't. The Bible is very specific. You have to go after it yourself. Faith is specific. Blind Bartimaeus believed he could have his healing. He believed he would receive his healing when he came to Jesus. And he left that garment laying right there. Tonight, I've simply given you a few little things. But tonight, either you come not to get prayed for, not to get hands laid on to you. You come to receive your healing. It's here. It's here for you now. If you are ready to do the same thing Bartimaeus did, jump to your feet and come down here. Come on now. Do the same thing. Jesus is calling you, just like he called Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Rest of y'all people, stand up. Thank you, Jesus. You got a sample of what I do on the crusade in my healing service. I sort of kicked back over in that evangelist style tonight. That's the way I am on the crusade. All right, all of you in this line, I want y'all to listen to what I have to say. I started preaching. Most of you, you're in the church here, but some of you haven't heard it. When I was 18, I prayed for the sick just like anybody else can. They say believers can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But in 1977 in Fort Worth, Texas, with my first singing group called Faith Creation, we were praying in the prayer room. I'm over here. Their group's down there. The Lord began to say to me, tonight I'm going to start using you with gifts of healings. If you want to know about that, go read it. It's 1 Corinthians 12, chapters, one of the gifts of the Spirit. I went out that night. I preached a sermon called Commanding Power. It's in a little book back there. I've only preached that sermon one other time since then. Back in the 90s, sometime early 90s, mid-90s, I don't know when it was, Daddy turned the healing service over to me on Friday night. I'm getting ready for my healing service. Lynette, I was praying with me. The Lord told her to start ministering with me. A couple years later, I began to feel warmth in my hand, and I asked the Lord what that was, and he said, that's that healing power. I'm letting you feel it. Now, when you get down here, in this line, I want you to forget about everybody and everything. I want you to forget about the person on the beside of you. Anybody, I want you to forget about the crowd behind you. I want you to forget about me. Because I'm just a pipe through which the anointing flows. When I get in front of you, I'm either going to say receive, be healed, or something. I may not even say it. I might just touch you. I want you to say, I take it and receive it. When you receive it, that I feel that power, it goes in. If you stiffen up, it'll fall right back. It comes right back. I can't heal you, but your faith has to activate that power. You see, faith is the activator. It activates the healing power. Your faith will what heals you. Thank God for the power, but it's not the power, it's your faith. If you read that from Acts there, if you read that Mormon with the issue of blood, you read this one, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. He didn't say nothing about his power. He said your faith. The power's there. Power's in your house. Wherever you're at, if you're a born-again Christian, the power of God's there. All you have to do is activate it. Just like a light. It's dark in the house, you hit a switch, you activate the electricity to flow to that light bulb.
How many understand what I'm talking about? Are you ready to receive tonight? Congregation, you be singing or praying with me with this group. If you get tired of standing, sit down. I'm going to forget about you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Anthony. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing, I believe.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're my healer.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe.
Receive. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and thank God for the healing power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You that were in the healing line, if you can check your situation, check it right now. Check it. If you're healed, wave your hand like this. Wave at me. Look at the hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you, you're not quite there, but you know you're a lot better. Hallelujah. You guys keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep saying, on August 31st, at around 7:50, healing power of God went into my body to affect the healing and the cure. And you keep saying it. Healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. The healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. And you keep saying it until the full manifestation comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated for just a minute. I'll tell you a couple of things. I was preaching in California in 1972. Dad and I were doing in Anaheim Convention Center. We weren't in the big arena, but we're in a room that held about 4,000 or 5,000. He'd have it full at night, and I have about half full at daytime, 2:00 afternoon. I just started to speak. They rolled a lady in right over there on that side. They have some doors. She's on a stretcher. She's hooked up to everything. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I found out later she had cancer all over her body. Her body was eat up with cancer. Actually, they had asked the doctor, found out later, they told us this, they had asked the doctor if they could bring her, and he said, I don't care where you take her, she ain't going to live past midnight anyway. But she is still alive next morning. She's alive the next day. She just got a little better every day. 6 weeks later, she walked out completely cancer-free. Now, the Bible says that some began to amend from that hour. Some were healed as they went, but others are instant healings. You see, sometimes we get hung up because of the instant, and we don't realize God don't do everything the same way all the time. Come on now. Hello. I could preach on that, but I won't preach there. I could go. Now, some were healed as they went. Dad was doing a meeting down in Houston. And they'd come from about 90 or 100 miles away, a couple of carloads of them. This little girl, she must have had autism or something like that anyway. They prayed for her, and she's just like she was. They got in the car, and they drove a little while. They stopped to get something to eat. They went in the restaurant. And so the little girl was sitting between her mother and some of the other ladies, and she ordered for her, and she got to talk to the other ladies, and they brought the food, and the mother turned to cut her food up so she could eat it. Little girl, about 8 or 9 years old, I guess. And she looked up at her mother, plain as ever, and said, what are you doing that for? I eat my own food. Now, it'd been a couple hours, maybe. See, she just began to amend and was healed as she went. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Whatever you're believing God for. Once you pray, then you keep the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, church, you saw a little bit of what we do on our healing crusade. Anthony, he's up, he knows. But I sort of got over in that preaching mode that we do. But in fact, when the kids that go on the singers with us, the first time they go out, they say, well, Pastor, you're different. You're different out here than you are at church. Well, it's a different anointing. There's the pastor's anointing, the evangelist's anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did y'all enjoy the service tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve but God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be, you need to rededicate your life. Or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible said. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, you can come down here. Our prayer team is coming right now. The ladies will be over here. The men will be over here. If you need Jesus, you need to rededicate your life. You want to receive the Holy Spirit. Or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front. They'll pray with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sunday morning right here. Come expecting. Come believing. I'm going to continue talking about Jesus. Last Sunday, I guess it was, I started talking about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus a little bit. You might could call it discovering Jesus or learning about Jesus, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. We're going to talk about Jesus. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guest and take them out in the lobby. We got a special gift we want you to receive. And like they said, if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on, join us. We have a great time serving God around here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing something before we go, Anthony.
Pastor, you know what? I know you didn't ask me to do this, but I just feel impressed. This last crusade that we were in,
go ahead.
There was a gentleman who came to the crusade in January in St. Augustine, and he was diagnosed with the incurable parasite. And he came to that crusade, and Pastor preached that night, and he came down to the healing line.
In January.
He was in our crusade when we were in Orlando. And that parasite that he had, he went back to the doctor and the parasite was gone. But the amazing thing was, he said that for 6 months, every day, he just kept getting better and better and better and better till that parasite was completely gone. So I just felt like
that was fine, fitting
to share that. I mean, we had a lot of testimonies. A lady was having an issue with her leg for 15 years. And she came down and received her healing that night. One of our team members, a husband, was diagnosed with an aneurysm. And she got a prayer cloth for her husband, and she put it in his pillowcase, and he slept and went back to the doctor, and the aneurysm was completely gone. Amen. So I just felt impressed to share that with you guys.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good enough. Just raise your hands and thank God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The healer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll see you Sunday morning. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. God bless.